RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Plenty to talk about with Joe this morning. Group 1 racing at Eagle Farm yesterday and an outstanding performance there from Incentivise. Away game taking out a stakes race. The first group winner for Steph Thornton. Congratulations to Steph, how well she's doing up there. Stakes racing in Sydney and the Irish Derby overnight. So Joe, as I welcome you into the program, there's plenty to discuss this morning.
There is, Warren. Good morning to you and our devoted listeners in the middle of winter who have bothered to get up early and tune in. Great day of racing yesterday, wasn't it, to wrap up the Queensland Racing Carnival. Some stunning performances. You've well outlined the win of Tefane, and great news that she's going to race on in the spring. Really interested to see how far she can go, quite literally distance-wise, that now very versatile, high-class mare who's just adding more and more value to herself as a broodmare prospect. So I bet the connections are pretty happy they decided not to sell her at the recent broodmare sales and reserve her for another day.
And I'm sure she'll go through for a very rich sum when she eventually does go through a broodmare sale, Joe. And Nigel Carmody made a comment on racing.com yesterday that the Queensland Carnival may well be set to play more of a role in the spring carnival that has done perhaps in previous years, although we did see Vow and Declare come through a Queensland Carnival, but Incentivise, Zaki, they hit the markets for our three features down here in the spring at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's been one of the best Queensland Carnivals as far as general quality of horses right across the board goes, and that is certainly supported by the fact that, as you say, horses like that now head the markets for the majors in the spring, and that horse Incentivise yesterday, wow. What a performance that was. We're about to have a chat with Bray Sikolsky, who has bought into the ownership of this Son of Seamus Award. But before we talk to Bray, I'd be interested, Warren, in your assessment of the horse's performance, because on face value, he looked like an absolute superstar. And Rosemont Stud themselves tweeting yesterday that it was shades of Might and Power back in the day.
Well, he can just sustain an incredible gallop, can't he? And look, he's emerged through some lower grade races, but on the back up yesterday and into the Tats Cup and horses that we've got a handle on, he made them look second rate. And that's, I think, what we referenced about Zaki going back a while ago and what Might and Power did and others. They can just make good horses look like they're second rate. And look, he's coming through handicap races, etc. But he's got to be one of the most exciting prospects in Australian racing and a transition down to Peter Moody and then see what this spring brings. And hopefully he stays sound as a gelding and we get to see him for a number of seasons. And I would be surprised, Joe, if that's not what the connections are looking for. It's not necessarily a short-term return. And we'll find out more from Bray shortly, but they've been very active in sourcing horses from overseas. And I think they might have unearthed one right under our nose.
I'm sure Bray is very excited to have bought into this horse, a 50% stake, which means the horse will be transitioned to Peter Moody, as you say, in Victoria for his next campaign. The horse was bred by his trainer, Steve Tregear, and now becomes the fourth stakes winner for the stakes placed Iglesia mare, Miss Argyle, and continues the great form on the racetrack of Rosemont Stud's Seamus Award. So interesting to see what happens now come the springtime. Bray, good morning to you. This decision to get involved in Incentivise is already paying off.
Yes, it is, handsomely, Joe. Good morning to you and Warren. And, it's truly a privilege to be involved in this horse.
So tell us how you came to be involved. So you and both Aussie Kerr buying into him. How long has this been in the pipeline for?
I don't actually follow Queensland racing too closely outside of the carnival, I have to admit. And I was actually in transit and just caught the last few hundred metres of his win at Eagle Farm and just thought to myself, geez, that's something special, and made a note to go and do a bit more due diligence on him. And then I went through his replays and I was just completely taken aback by what I saw. And it was just struck me as some, you know, a horse with a very, very unique profile that I hadn't seen in this country for a long, long time. And I was determined one way or another to get involved with him and wanted to make it happen before his next start, because I just could tell the horse's trajectory, he was going to go to another level again. And fortunately, Steve was amenable half of the horse for a, you know, a very good sum, but, you know, be able to stay in for the ride still. And, you know, my approach was, you know, let's see if we can have a crack at the cups. But obviously the biggest challenge looking back then was how we're going to qualify, and let's see what happens for the remainder of the preparation. But I think he pretty much have done that job for us come Saturday in terms of, well, A, at least passing the qualification clause, and arguably now we'll carry enough weight to get into the cups, which will take a huge amount of pressure off Pete moving forward with the horse down at his stables in Packenham.
A front-running performance from the horse yesterday, as is his customary role to this point, and absolutely demolishing a pretty high-class field of beating a Group 1 winner into the placings, Mirage Dancer.
Well, it's interesting, Joe, because prior to that Eagle Farm race, he was very much, you know, a horse that settled back in his races. And he was caught deep, Anthony Allen, in that particular race. He made the right move going forward and added another string to the horse's bow. And against these fields, you know, we've just been trying to keep him out of trouble and keep luck out of the equation and riding forward, but not necessarily the horse's pattern once we sort of step him up into Group 1 class. I think he's still, you know, perhaps better ridden with cover, but time will tell. But what he did on Saturday, I mean, I've been saying to Michael Felgo previously that, you know, I hadn't seen a horse do what he's done in terms of stringing three races together by those sorts of margins ever. He's now done the fourth time and increased the margin. I don't believe there is a precedent to what he's done. And, you know, I don't care what you're beating. It's win a stakes race by 12 lengths. Certainly, we're probably going back into the 20th century to find another example. And, you know, it's phenomenal to think this horse is just doing things that no one's seen in modern times.
Well, he had plenty of good judges in Raptures yesterday, that's for sure. And this race has been a good pointer to the spring, having had Vow and Declare, who went on to win a Melbourne Cup, of course, coming through.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you know, it's now, you know, I think local trainers have realised that we don't need the traditional path of having horses spell during winter and coming back and then stepping them up through distance and, you know, the old Bart Cummings path of, you know, 10 kilometres into their legs prior to a Melbourne Cup. I think you can train horses nowadays more like European stayers and keep them ticking over through winter like Danny did with Bow and Declare. And, you know, we'll be able to give this horse a short let up, but certainly nothing like a spell. And within that, you know, let up, we'll still keep ticking him over. And then, you know, we've got to sit down and map a path out towards the Caulfield Cup. But I can't see him having a lot of runs prior. You know, I think it would be no more than two. But, you know, we need to obviously sit down and determine that. But, yeah, the horse has got those miles in his legs and the residual fitness, and we're going to take advantage of that benefit.
He's won his last four races by a combined total of 37.8 lengths, Bray. Is he a bit of a freak, this horse, do you think?
Joe, I mean, everyone can say, well, you know, keep a lid on it, but what he's doing is freakish. It's simple as that. You know, we still don't know what this horse's level is because he just keeps on going to a new level every single time Steve saddles him up. I certainly don't, you know, it's hard to believe that there's still improvement in him and he can go another level beyond what he did on Saturday. But we don't know yet. And like that performance on Saturday, as you well be aware, I own a share in Very Elegant, and she's very, very dear to me and a champion in her own right, having won 8 Group 1 races. But I think it would be preposterous for anyone to suggest that she would have been able to run him down on Saturday. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, the best, most established late for age horse in the country. So, yeah, it's scary to think what this horse could do in the spring.
Yeah. How's Steve feeling? I mean, whilst he retains a share in this horse that he's trained and bred, how's he coping with that decision now that he has to hand the reins over to the master in Peter Moody?
Yeah, it's a good question, Joe. I mean, he's such a an easygoing guy. I think he's very philosophical about it. You know, I think either way, you know, it would have been difficult for the horse to be set for, you know, Melbourne Spring Program and trained out of Toowoomba. So he would have had to be taking him out of his comfort zone anyway. And, you know, I never, when I was doing the deal with Steve, and, you know, I maintain that certainly now, I never said, you know, listen, I think Peter Moody's going to improve this horse, you know, and that's why I'm taking it to him. I just said to him, it's just logical for Pete to be training it, given we want to target, you know, the Caulfield of Melbourne Cup. And, you know, obviously Pete's got experience with horses running in those races. But Steve's going to be integral to mapping out the horse's preparation and also in terms of advising Pete on the best way to condition him to get him through the spring, because no one knows that horse better than Steve, and he's done absolutely fabulous job with him, been so patient, nurtured him, and no trainer could have produced that horse in better order on Saturday.
It's interesting, the backstory of this horse and the challenge that he's been for Steve to train, because he himself, Steve, said recently that he was a horse that he wouldn't have given two bob for 12 months ago. He's quite gobsmacked by the improvement this horse has shown.
Yeah, I love those stories, Joe, because it's part of the romance of racing and you know, to demonstrate why, you know, you should never give up on horses. And always for owners hold out hope that they may improve. And, yeah, it's obviously rare that they improve to the level this horse has. But, yeah, some horses just take a long time to mature, long time for the penny to drop mentally. And, yeah, he thought 12 months ago that, you know, this might be a horse that he could, you know, eventually win a few races to get, but never in his wildest imagination did he think he would have something like the incentivise we now know. So it all gives us hope for many slow ones, or certainly gives me hope for the many slow ones that I have at the moment that I'm hoping will mature and improve in time.
It is quite an extraordinary turnaround by this horse. So he was beaten out of a placing at his first three starts and has now won six on the bounce by, as we've outlined, absolutely mind-boggling margins. So it's all ahead of him, Bray. A very exciting spring beckons. When does he get on the truck to venture south?
I'll speak with Steve and Moods in the next 24 hours. I would suggest he'll be at least two, perhaps 3 weeks at Steve's property, just resting. And, you know, he'll tick him over, but, you know, not do much with him. And then look to head south to Pete once we need, you know, start to pour a little bit more work into the horse. So I would suggest 2 to 3 weeks, Joe.
Let him enjoy a bit more of that Queensland sunshine.
Deserves it. So I'd love to actually see the horse in person. I haven't had that opportunity yet. So I'm certainly looking forward to him getting down here as well.
Well, you've done well, Bray, to negotiate a big share in him, like you have with a number of other horses. How's the spring shaping at this stage with your troops?
Yeah, they're all in great order. Most of my, you know, my top quality horses, as you'd be aware of, with Chris Waller. They're all back in training at Rose Hill. Chris couldn't be happier with how they're coming along. Very elegant in fantastic order. He's confident that she's grown and furnished again, come back every bit as good, if not better, than when she returned to the stables with him this autumn. And we're so excited to see her return to the races. And she's on the traditional Winx-style Cox Plate path this spring. And it would be amazing to win that race with her. And I genuinely think she deserves to be a Cox Plate winner. So hopefully it's another incredibly successful preparation for her this spring.
Yeah, absolutely. And listeners might be interested to get a better understanding of your level of investment in the younger sort of stock yearlings. Were you active at all at the yearling sales this season?
A little too active, Joe. I actually didn't realise how many I'd bought until I sat down with my accountant and he put a spreadsheet in front of me last week. And I thought to myself, right, I probably should have been a little bit more methodical here. But yeah, I think there's I bought something in the order of 20 yearlings. And I was absolutely wrapped with, you know, what I've acquired. And, you know, they're sort of, there's not a particular sort of profile there. I just try and buy the best horse I can find at the best value. And they're going to a variety of stables. And, you know, I love sort of this time of year where those yearlings are, you know, just starting to come into sort of some serious, more serious training, and, you know, we'll get to see what's under the bonnet in the next few months and hopefully unearth the next serious horse for me.
And what is your take on the performance of the yearling sales or horse markets in general this year? It's been nothing short of extraordinary.
Yeah, it is extraordinary, Joe. The industry is in such strong shape. You know, I just think it's hard to believe how buoyant the industry is and how strong the sales are across the board. You know, whether we're talking about weanlings, yearlings, race mares, brood mares, even the money being paid for stallion prospects, it's testament to the administration of the industry and, you know, the growth in racing over the last 12 to 18 months. And I just see it from my own personal experience, you know, day to day, even in the business world, that racing's just so much more accepted as a mainstream sport. And there's so much more genuine interest in racing and ownership. So, yeah, I think, like, we've really penetrated the broader market in terms of, you know, the interest. And now we just have to make sure that that translates into broader ownership, because that's something I'm, you know, very passionate about. I'm a member of the Trio board alongside Jonathan Munns. And, you know, I'm very proselytising myself in trying to bring new people into racehorse ownership, because I think that's what racing has above and beyond every other sport. The ability for, you know, everyone, whether it's mum and dad or whether it's the sheep, to participate and be part of the sport and be a protagonist, not just be a spectator. I think we're doing an increasingly good job of promoting that, and that's evidenced in, you know, the spread of ownership and also in commercially just how well the industry is performing.
Bray, your partner in Incentivise and in a number of horses, Aussie Kerr, very well known for importing horses to target spring features. Just with the recent changes to the RVVRC policy with scanning, etc., have you developed a strategy there as to how you're going to attack that part of your business?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say we've developed a strategy, Warren. We're obviously very cognizant of that and the impact that's going to have, particularly on the numbers, the quantity and the quality of international horses coming out for this spring. You know, I think there's a little bit of fear-mongering there and, you know, people wanting to make a statement that is going to really impact this particular spring carnival. I do think people will eventually adjust and some normality and sanity will be restored and we'll see, you know, more typical numbers back in 2022, but I do think this year there are serious implications for both races by virtue of it. You know, I think what we've found is the European market, we talk about the strength of Australian racing, but, you know, globally, you know, the market, the thoroughbred markets have proven particularly resilient as well. And in Europe, it's very difficult to buy horses at the moment. So, you know, even just getting them down here, irrespective of those new protocols, is proving hard, and there's not a lot of acquisitions being made. So, you know, I think I've been asked this question a number of times as to whether that's the reason I bought into Incentivise. It actually has no bearing on it. I would have been just as determined to be part of this horse, irrespective But yeah, Ozzy, you know, who's got so well networked and so well informed about these European horses, and typically, you know, by this stage, you know, has two or three earmarked or even acquired, you know, is saying it's just so damn difficult to find any prospects this season.
And as we come to a close, Bray, winning the Melbourne Cup is the dream of many. What would it mean to you to possibly get incentivised all the way there?
Yeah, well, you know, I've now, you know, got the good fortune to have a Cox Plate and a Caulfield Cup on the mantelpiece, Joe. So, you know, it's the one race remaining, you know, of the big three in Melbourne that I don't have. And obviously it's the number one race. It would mean everything to me to be able to win a Melbourne Cup. I've had, I think, four or five cracks at it with horses that have been some chance in the race and walked away rather deflated. My best result was Finch running fourth several years ago. To win the race would just be such an incredible privilege. And, you know, if I don't do it this year, it incentivised. I'll certainly be trying my best to win it over hopefully the next 50 years because I'm hell-bent on doing it. And just having runners in the race previously, it's only still my resolve to come back and try and achieve that. And hopefully this may be the year with this particular horse.
Good on you, Bray. Fantastic to see you on this journey in ownership. It's certainly a far cry from our days back, way back with Carradale.
I know, Joe. I haven't forgotten about that. I've known you for a long, long time and really appreciate yours and everyone else's support. Like, it's such a fantastic industry. Everyone's so happy for me as I'm so happy for others that have achieved success. And, you know, you've done an incredible job yourself to promote racing over the years. So, you know, it's a credit to you and your commitment to the industry as well. And Carradale still carries a very special place in my heart, Joe, as the first horse that I've owned. I'll never forget him. He was a ripper.
He was. We had lots of fun. Bray, thanks for joining us this morning and can't wait to see Incentivised hit Victoria in the coming months, the track there on the way to the Melbourne Cup.
Thanks so much for your time, Joe, and great to have a chat. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Warren.
Yes, Bray Sokolsky there. Warren, Incentivised, he's an exciting prospect, really has lit up the Queensland Carnival. But as you say, a horse like Zaki has as well. So both horses heading to things like the Melbourne Cup and the Cox Plate, we'll see much more of them in the coming months.
And great for you to reminisce about Taradale. I think Brent Crawford, Felgate, I think there must have been a very race of or a group of colourful identities involved in the ownership of Taradale, Joe.
I always have a giggle when people refer to colourful racing identities. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not, but we did have some colourful times together back in the heyday, yes.
And Incentivised and Tefano we've covered, and away game for the Mar and Eustace stable. And Steph Thornton's making a great fist of her time in Queensland. Her and Ben Thompson are doing great jobs up there. And it was her first group winner yesterday, so important for away game, but also an important day for Steph there.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're talking now about away game, potentially going to a race like the Breeders' Cup Carnival. So she's owned by US connections. That would seem logical. But, yeah, most interesting to see what they eventually do with that horse internationally. Of course, COVID plays its part in restrictions there, certainly for people from here to go with her. But that could be something on the radar for her. There was a number of other very good horses win yesterday. We saw Bandersnatch in Sydney winning at the Civic Stakes, a great performance there, winning the listed feature at Rose Hill. And son of Casino Prince, Bandersnatch, was quite impressive in winning that. And overnight we had the Irish Derby and Frankel. He had the recent Epsom Derby winner in Adaya. He produced the winner of the Irish Derby last night, Hurricane Lane. So isn't he becoming something as a sire?
He is, and we're certainly looking forward to Argentia as a filly and what she can do in the spring for the Freedman Stable. So yes, there's some great Frankels out there, and he obviously got every opportunity, you would think, with the CV he took to being a stallion. But the Irish Derby and the Epsom Derby, certainly great achievements for him as a stallion. Joe, just on a note outside of racing, just from your perspective where you are in New South Wales, how's the current COVID situation playing out for you?
Oh, well, it's all a bit scary, isn't it, Warren? And you and everyone in Melbourne knows too well what it's like to go through this type of scenario with COVID, that the Delta strain spreading like wildfire in Sydney. So the Greater Sydney region and various regional centres have been put into a lockdown till July 9, which is good. Not easy for people to live within those parameters, but it's a must. I'm in regional New South Wales, at least sort of almost 5 hours from Sydney in between Scone and Tamworth, so quite removed from the epicentre of all of this. But having said that, if it ever, you know, spread to areas like this, it would be absolutely diabolical, because we just don't have the healthcare systems that the city areas do to manage the outfall of it all. I'm actually scheduled to get my vaccination next month. Mixed feelings about all of that, as you well know, with the COVID vaccinations and whether or not it's a safe thing to do. But gee whiz, anything we can do to stop the spread of this. Tell you what, whilst we don't have COVID here, fortunately, we've got our own other battles. Things like a very cold and wet winter, which fortunately, Warren, you'll be pleased to hear, seems to have wiped out the mice plague that we've been living with here over the past couple of months.
Nature has a way of looking after things in some way, doesn't it? That's good news, because that mice plague looked horrendous. So fortunately, the cold weather might have done something there. And on a vaccination scale, Joe, we've got to move on shortly. But yeah, I'm old enough to fall into the AstraZeneca category, and I've had my first vaccination, and I'll certainly be there to have my second one. I just think it's so important for people to get vaccinated if they can. It is a personal choice, but my choice is to get vaccinated at the earliest opportunity that I could, because I think that's better for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, Warren.
Nice to chat, Joe. Look forward to chatting again next week, and hopefully where COVID hasn't spread further than where it is, and the strategy in place is containing it in that Sydney region.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's hope too that racing can continue unabated, because credit to everybody in the industry that's played by the rules and enabled our great sport to continue on.
Absolutely. It's 20-9 on RSN 927. That was Joe McKinnon talking horses. Ray Thomas talking Rose Hill after this.